Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today. We're going to be exploring what could be a first for our audience today. We're going to be talking about the Enneagram from a biblical perspective. Now, I can hear you already. What in the world is an Enneagram? I asked the same question, okay? Now, the Enneagram is reportedly a powerful tool for personal and collective transformation. It stems from the Greek word ennea, which means nine, and gramos, which is a written symbol. The nine-pointed Enneagram symbol represents nine distinct strategies for relating to the self, others, and the world. Each Enneagram type has a different pattern of thinking, feeling, and acting that arises from a deeper inner motivation or worldview. Now, I sounded real smart when I said that because I looked it up online, okay? To help us walk through our discussion today, though, is Marilyn Vansell, who has been using the Enneagram model in her Christian spiritual transformation for over 30 years. She's a certified Enneagram professional. She holds workshops and retreats that focus on this self-awareness tool and helps people to live out their unique expression and experience as someone created in God's image. And she loves the holy aha moments that she witnesses in her workshops. She's written a book called Self to Lose, Self to Find, A Biblical Approach to the Nine Enneagram Types. Marilyn lives in Seattle, Washington area with her husband, four children, and their spouses, and 10 grandchildren. Wow, I thought I was busy with seven grandchildren. Help me welcome to the program, Marilyn Vansell. Marilyn, thank you for coming on the program today.
Well, thank you, Bob, very much for having me. And I will correct that. We now have 11 grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a delight to be Mimi and Poppy.
Yeah. So. I always tell people that if I knew grandkids were this much fun, I'd had them first.
Right. They are fun, for sure.
Amen. And the best part is, when they're acting up, it's okay, go home.
Amen.
Well, let me start with this question first. I ask every guest this question right off the bat. Other than that short bio I just read, tell us in your own words, who is Marilyn Vansell?
Wow, that's a good question. And I could tell you all the roles that I play: wife, mother, spiritual director, author. But who am I really? I'm one who's been created in God's image, as all of us are. And my specialty is to be at peace inside and to give peace as a gift to others. And my passion is to really be a messenger of God's freedom for people. My delight, like you said in your intro, I loved seeing holy ahas. And those are usually, you know, places that people realize how stuck they are, where they're stuck, why they're stuck in certain and habitual patterns. And then to just help them move into freedom, the freedom that Christ promises us to live in. And what does it mean to walk in freedom and to live in grace and faith and trust? And peace is the big one, to live in peace inside and in the world. So that's me.
Amen. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as we begin, can you explain what the Enneagram is and how it's used?
Okay, well, you did a great job, by the way. I was impressed. Yes, it is a typology. It's not a personality assessment, but it's more of a personality system. And it, as you said, Ennea means nine, and so it's a roadmap of nine different distinct personality motivations and ways that we have adopted and adapted to life, so that and things that motivations that we've taken up as we developed as children and throughout in our early life, of ways that we think we have to be, to think we have to do, ways of thinking, ways of feeling that we develop to get along in the world, And we carry that on into adulthood, and it works for us when we're little, but it doesn't work for us as mature adults. And so it is a way of understanding. It's like a microscope on our inner life, those inner places that where we're stuck, and helps us get out of them. Or and just recognizing them alone is a holy aha. To see, oh, that's why I do that. That's a false belief. That's a negative narrative that I'm carrying around that I think I have to be in order to be acceptable, to be loved, to be safe, to be in control, all those human needs that we have, but it's a false way of doing it and an ineffective way of doing it. Keeps us stuck.
So it's not 9 different personality types. What would you call it? 9 what?
9 filters. Okay. 9 different motivations. 9 different. I mean, there's lots of bullet points under each one, right. Each of the 9 types. But really, it identifies the compulsions that we have. Our compulsive need to be a certain way that we don't even recognize is running our life. And when we can identify that, then we can let go of it. You know, Paul says, put off the old self. Mm-hmm. And until we identify what that old self pattern really is, it's hard to let go of it, to recognize what it is. And when we can name it and have a description and an understanding of how those things are running us and influencing us, then if we don't name it, we can't let go of it.
You know, is it like, okay, this was the base one and each different thing is like a different level, or
the
Maslow's hierarchy of needs thing, or how
you mean of the 9 types?
Yeah.
No, there are 9 different, and they're organized around a circle. And they're 9 distinct on their own, and the numbers, as the types are usually identified with as a type 1, type 2, type 3, have no numerical order at all or significance. And I don't know why it was created to be that way, but that's the way it was. And so it's not layer upon layer,
Okay.
Higher and higher, hierarchy or okay. Spiritual journey, spiritual path.
Right.
But each one has their own distinction. Okay. And we're a blend of all of them. It's not like people resist these kinds of things because they don't want to be put in a box. And it's not a way of being put in a box. It's actually identifying the box you're in and giving you a pathway out, which is, for me and your audience, is Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Well, let's go after the big elephant in the room.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Explain what it is and how it should not be considered New Age or anti-Bible. Mm. I mean, I know I'd have reservations trying something
sure.
I had not heard of before, so I know there'll be some listeners thinking the same thing.
Right, sure. Well, at first glance, and that was my first reaction 30 years ago when I was given a series of cassette tapes, so that's really dating me. And it had this weird picture on the front and this word Enneagram. And I went, no, thank you. And a trusted friend gave it to my husband and me. And I was like, and the title of it was Naming Your Illusions. So that really set me off. Like, what is that? That's not any kind of biblical language I live with. And so I was thought, it was really woo-woo and new agey and wasn't interested. But my husband actually listened to the tapes first and said, I think you really like this. It's so helpful. And it really did open up an understanding of ourselves and one another. It was huge in our marriage to recognize that we were both looking through different filters, and that's where we were getting stuck or running up against each other. And kind of repeating conflicts was really helped us understand what our particular conflicts were all about. And so then for me, I became hooked. I got every book I could find on it, which wasn't easy to do back then. and just was so helped by the knowledge that I was understanding about myself. And then my question as a follower of Jesus, I was like, well, how, is this kind of going over the edge, or is this out of the realm of the God, work of God in me? And so I really struggled for many years to try to, you know, to see if they, how they fit together. And I just started to see so many links in the scriptures, just like I said with Paul, saying, put off the old self, put on the new self. And I realized, oh, this helps me identify my old self. So it's a tool. It's not, it's, we aren't a number and we are bigger than a type. But it does just helps us identify our own human journey, our life experience, and the lies, the deceit, the enemy's ways of closing down our the image that we've been created in to reflect God. And it just, and so I found it to be a great tool. It's just a tool. But it's helpful. It gives us a sense of the lane we're in and why we do what we do. Okay. And then we can bring it to God to transform us.
Well, how does the, you said this isn't a personality assessment. How does this differ from a personality assessment?
Oh, good question. Well, often personality assessments, and even that word itself, says it assesses you and it defines you. And those usually get after strengths and weaknesses, or how you operate best in the workplace, or how you are with people. You know, there's, and just the fact that there are so many personality assessments and systems, like the Myers-Briggs and all those, really shows our desire to understand ourselves and to understand each other and how to get along. So it's an important it's an important journey to go on, and it really, it does, like I just said, reveals our desire to understand who we are and why we're doing what we're doing, and to understand others. This gets down to the deeper motivations, the deeper place of what's driving our behaviors, what's driving our thinking patterns, what's driving our emotional life. So it goes below the surface rather than defining us and strengths and weaknesses on more in our outer behaviors.
Okay. How is this being received in the evangelical community? I mean, I know there are probably pockets of groups that are resisting this, just as there are probably pockets who accept it.
Great question, because there, that's partly why I wrote my book. It is why I wrote my book. Because I recognized that there was a lot of resistance, and I was finding myself, and I was at Enneagram trainings, and very few people were there who were Jesus followers, but we'd find each other, and the language of it wasn't always, that's where part of my struggle was, like, oh, how does this line up with scripture? And the, I had to do a lot of translating inside for myself, like, oh, that's, you know, this scripture is similar to what that they're saying, but with different language. And so that was, you know, my own personal journey through that. And I realized that I wanted to bring it forth so that it could be a useful tool for the Jesus followers, the evangelical community that really love Jesus, love the scriptures, want to follow Jesus. I would say the evangelical community, at least in my experience, hasn't been encouraged or taught very well to be self-reflective, to notice the inner life, to be contemplative, to be still. And, you know, it's so important, and it became very important in my life just to be a reflective person, and that it's not self-oriented, self-absorbed, self-referential. It's really helping God, you know, be in touch with God in my inner being. And so I just wanted to bring it forth to warm up the evangelical community to this tool that is helpful for the journey. And so there's, and it's exploded in the last 3 years since my book, not because my book came out, but all of a sudden, and I didn't even realize when I was writing my book that there was this wave coming in and I was going to get to jump on it. There's been a lot of interest and acceptance and curiosity about this tool, there still is resistance. I run against, you know, up against that, and understandably so, when you look at it and you're not familiar, and it's kind of out of the realm of what experience has been for a person or for a church. It can be, you know, there's reason to be cautious, mm-hmm. or I understand it, but I'm wanting to bring it forth as it's just a tool, and that God can use it.
Amen. Have you been, quote unquote, labeled by churches or ministries because of your association with this training?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. It's been amazing. The acceptance and the invitations I've received to participate and to be, like, this next week I'm doing a workshop at a evangelical church in Seattle, in the Seattle area, and I've traveled around doing lots of those, and, you know, there are churches that they're not going to invite me, but that's okay.
Yeah, amen. So I think the concern I can't speak for all pastors or anything like that. Would this be a type of watering down of Christianity into like a pulp culture or pop culture mentality, something like that?
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to water it down. That's not my heart, and I spend a lot of time talking about just the transformative journey that Jesus has us on, and that's. The first 58 pages of my book were really why I wrote the book, to talk about Jesus, and that Jesus says, if you save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And my holy aha was, oh, he says there's a self to find too. It's not just about losing, denying. Actually, that's to get us to our truer self. And so I certainly would be horrified if my message felt like it was watering down the gospel. Yeah. Now, is it being used? Is that happening? Yes. Anything can be watered down and be kind of a fad and be, it's really popular with millennials right now, and I think there's probably great reason for that, because they feel so disconnected in so many other ways, and they're trying to understand themselves, but they can water it down and just make it a game and a fun thing, and that's my concern, is that it's not being used as a transformative tool, but just kind of interesting and fun. So I'm seeing that happen because it's become so popular that now it's just thrown around like, you know, a way of boxing each other in or boxing yourself in, and not really allowing the Lord to use it as within the journey of transformation, which the Lord is obviously can do without the Enneagram, but it's a tool.
Amen. Let's look at, you know, we talked about Christians thinking, you know, this might be watered down Christianity. Let's look at it from the opposite perspective. In order to be accepted into Christian circles, is it necessary to water down the Enneagram training?
Well, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think I had to do some translation. Mm-hmm. But the Enneagram, again, it's this pretty wide open. There's some basics to it. Just like, you know, on the other side, the gospel has its basics, basic truths about Jesus. But then there's a lot of room for expression of how that operates in your life. And so in the same way, the Enneagram has its basics, basic types, all the types are the same in any Enneagram circle training. But the way it's used and expressed is really acceptable to, because it's not trademarked, that you can, you know, use it in business, use it here, use it there, and it doesn't really water it down.
Okay.
I don't think. Yeah.
Amen. Well,
yeah.
If you're approaching a group or ministry about providing this type of training. What is your response to Christians, especially other pastors and ministry leaders, that, you know, say, well, this is New Age? I mean, how do you respond to those accusations?
Well, I, again, say it's a tool. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, we have tools, we have helps, resources along our journey that we utilize. And it can be used. And, you know, New Age is kind of a broad term as well. You know, right. Is that spirituality? What's the fear? What is the fear about that? And that there's, I just say, here, read my book, and then you'll see where I'm coming from with this. And understand that I'm approaching it, I'm offering it in the context of, how is this helpful in your walk with Jesus, in your call to follow Jesus and to be set free and to live in the freedom that Jesus offers and promises and leads us to? And how can this awareness open up that possibility of freedom and living that way and being more loving too? Because we can't love, you know, the great commandment is to love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. And the Enneagram, at least the way I present it, identifies the ways that we're defended and restricted, and that our, you know, it's kind of the law we've created for ourselves and how we think we have to be okay. And that from that defended closed place, it's not as easy to love fully and freely, and we can't really love from a defended place the way God calls us to love. So to put down our defenses and to live in faith and trust in God, then we can love, we can follow, we can live out that commandment in a more free and full way.
We're not finished yet, but can you give us your contact information in case someone can't stay until the end of our conversation?
You know, sure.
I think they should stay, but knowing reality, some people can't stay all the way to the end, but I want them to have your contact information.
Sure. I love to be contacted, and I don't get back right away, but I will. So my website is marilynvansel.com. And you can just contact me through that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And your book is on Amazon, correct?
It is, or you can order it through my website.
Okay.
I actually, you know, make a little more that way, and I send it right out, and it's an autographed copy.
There you go.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And I'll be putting links to that in the show notes down below.
And, great.
And, you know, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, if someone had to leave early, they had your contact information.
Well, thank you. I'd love to hear from them.
Amen. Now, you talk about the necessity of a deep inner work that must accompany self-awareness. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Self-awareness on its own, for its own, you know, on its own, doesn't really help you unless you are bringing Jesus into that and having just taking the time. I tell people it's hard to move along in the spiritual journey without pausing, without stopping and noticing what is going on in you. And you can be aware of that, but then you need to do the inner work. Like, what is below the surface on that? What lie is that attached to? What memory? Maybe there's some memories from your upbringing that have solidified this neural pathway. You know, it's so fascinating right now. All this scientific work on neuroplasticity that our brains can be rewired and we can think a different way. We can go down a different path. But we've forged a path that has been there for a long time, and we, you know, like ways of thinking or feeling or you know, believing, And it's like a path through a forest, and we just walk down it automatically. Our brains do, and our emotions do, our psych does. Mm-hmm. And we can rewire that by reforming that and creating a new pathway, which takes some work. You know, you got to clear the brush. You got to clear the path. You have to, you know, cut down, prune some trees to get through there. And it's fascinating to me that this is all coming out in the science community. And I think, well, this sounds like be renewed. You know, the renewal of your mind is part of our journey as believers in Jesus. And so this is a helpful way of, you know, until you pay attention to the path you're going down, you can't. And that's that inner work of bringing it up, bringing it to your conscious level. And recognizing it and allowing Jesus to reframe that, to transform it, to change the pathway, change the way we think and believe to follow him.
Amen. Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time with our interview today with Marilyn Vansell as we talk about the Enneagram. Now, if you're like me, I hadn't heard of this too much before, so I'd had to do some research on it. And she is an expert in this area. And at first, I thought it was all about New Age stuff, and I was a little hesitant on it. But after talking with Marilyn and understanding what it is she's trying to accomplish, she is relating it to the biblical perspective and helping you to increase the measure of faith that you walk in, that you're able to achieve. You know, it is a way of harnessing that inner power that resides in you if you're a born-again child of God. And that's what this interview is all about. But we're only halfway through. You need to come back tomorrow and catch up the rest with it. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.